Bible Expositors Podcast, taking you week by week on the most exciting adventure of life, a journey through the Word of God. And now your host.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Bible Expositors Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Baker, and this week we are beginning Romans chapter 5. Last week we concluded Romans chapter 4, and now we will begin Romans chapter 5 with verse 1. And I want to speak to you this week on the subject of God's formula for hope. God's formula for hope. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, hope can keep you going through the hardest times and the roughest storms that life can bring your way. Emily Dickinson, the 19th century American poet, wrote, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash that little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, and yet never in extremity it asks a crumb of me." Everyone in the world wants hope. But in order to have real hope, we have to follow God's formula. God tells us in His Word how we can have a hope that will last through the most challenging storms of life. Verse 1 of Romans chapter 5, as we begin our study, says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, peace goes hand in hand with hope in helping the believer to live a happy and successful Christian life. If you have peace with God and the hope of Jesus Christ in your heart, you can sail through the stormy seas of life in victory. The word justified in this verse is a very interesting word. Now, we've studied this before, but let's just talk about it again. Let's suppose that you had just committed a crime and were standing before the judge. "Are you guilty of the charges?" the judge asks. "Yes, Your Honor, I am guilty," you reply, with your head hung towards the ground. "Well then," says the judge, "the verdict is not guilty, innocent of all crimes." Now, that may seem like an unlikely scenario in a court of law, but that's exactly what happens when a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior. God declares the believer to be not guilty and innocent of all sins. That's what the Bible means when it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have peace with God because through Jesus Christ, He has declared us to be not guilty and righteous in His sight. Now, how good would a person have to be to go to heaven? Jesus said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And that's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were very religious on the outside. In fact, on the outside, they were as clean as a hound's tooth. Yet Jesus taught that outward righteousness and religion are not enough. A man or woman who will enter God's kingdom has to exceed this type of righteousness. How good does a person have to be? Well, they would have to be good enough to not have any sin at all, because God's promise is that He will judge sin. Ezekiel 18:20, the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." James 1:15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." The penalty of sin is death, separation from God forever in hell. Now, I only know of one sinless, perfect person who has ever lived, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when by faith I receive Christ as my personal Savior, this is what happens. God takes all of the sin off of my record. Every time I've told a lie, every time I've stolen something, every time I've desired to have something that belonged to someone else, which is covetousness, every time I've taken God's name in vain, which is blasphemy, every time I've done any kind of a sin, God takes all those sins away. But he doesn't stop there. God places the righteousness of Jesus Christ on my record so that in his sight I am sinless and perfect and righteous. Then when God looks at my record, he has to declare me to be innocent of all sin and righteous because he sees on my record the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we can experience peace with God. Everybody wants peace, but you can never have true peace with God until you are justified. And the only way that you can be justified is by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible goes on to say in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Grace is when I get good things from God that I do not deserve. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm going there. That is God's grace. The Bible teaches that we have access into God's grace by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is like a master key that unlocks God's treasures of grace. It is like an all-access pass. As believers, we stand before God innocent and righteous. We don't deserve this, but it's a reality for every believer in Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. While we stand before God sinless and righteous, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Even though I'm sinless in God's sight in heaven, I am still far from perfect on earth. One day, I will not come short of God's glory anymore. I'll be like Jesus Christ. That is my hope, the glory of God. Now, here's God's formula for hope. It's simply this. Tribulation plus patience plus experience equals hope. Notice what the Bible says. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And that's Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Now, the first part of God's formula for hope is tribulation. In other words, we have to go through trouble in order to get hope. Now, that's not the way I would have planned things. And I'm sure you wouldn't have planned things that way either. I don't like suffering. I don't know about you, but I hate suffering. I don't enjoy trouble. But God says that if you want hope, you have to go through tribulation. The good news is that if you're going through tribulation right now, you are a prime candidate for hope. When my mother died in 2002 of Lou Gehrig's disease, that was a time of tribulation for my family. It was also a time of hope because we could look to God's promises in the Bible that life does not end at death. For the Christian, there's the firm hope of meeting again in heaven. The road of tribulation takes us to a place of hope, but not before it gives us something else that we need in life. And that brings us to the second part of God's formula for hope, which is patience. Now, patience is something that all of us can use. Going through tribulation in life teaches us to patiently wait on God. Strong's Concordance says that the word translated patience in this verse means cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy. Now, I don't enjoy going through trouble. I endure it. Because God is in the equation, I can endure it cheerfully or hopefully, looking forward to the time when I will be delivered from the situation or when the trial will be over. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before him, this is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now here was Jesus hanging on the cross, suffering for our sins. He did not enjoy the sufferings that he went through. He endured them for the joy that was to come afterwards. The joy of rising from the dead. The joy of seeing millions of sinners saved. This joy caused Jesus Christ to endure the cross. We do not have to enjoy tribulations in life, but we simply need to know that if tribulation comes, then that tribulation causes us to have patience, which we all need, and that will result in hope. I didn't get married until I was 30 years old. I wanted to, but I couldn't find the right girl for me. And during that time of waiting, I surrendered to go to the mission field. My wife also wanted a husband, but she couldn't find the right man. She surrendered to the Lord to serve as a missionary as well. The Lord taught us to patiently wait for Him. And when the time was right, He brought us together. And we're glad that we waited for one another. Both of us wanted to serve God, and now we're able to serve Him together. There's nothing that beats that. The loneliness of being single while others our age were married and having children was also a time of trusting God, waiting on Him, and learning patience. Now you say, well, man, I sure do need patience. Good. But you can't have patience without going through tribulation. You learn to patiently wait on God through the trials of life. You say, well, I've been in some tribulation, and now I'm learning to patiently wait on God to work. And you say, I want to experience God's deliverance. Wonderful. You're in the right place, because the next part of God's formula for hope is experience. Experience. Now, this is by far my favorite part of God's formula. I go through the trial. I wait on God. God works, and I experience His deliverance. Are you a Christian? Are you going through a trial right now? Then let me tell you some good news. It won't last forever. Your trial is not going to last forever. It will come to an end. Now, the devil will lie to you, and he'll say that your trial will last, but your trial will not last. It will end. Deliverance is coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil always likes to take bad times in our lives. And if you picture your life as a sentence, if you picture your whole life as a sentence, the devil likes to take bad times in our lives and put a period at the end and say, this is going to be your end. But the truth of the matter is, these bad times are not the period. They are a parenthesis. They're just something that happens for a while that we'll get through, because our end, the end of a Christian, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Are you going through a trial right now? It won't last forever. Deliverance will come. You will experience God's hope in your life. Some Christians endure sickness that lasts throughout their lives, but they enjoy God's presence and powerful hope here on earth. In eternity, there won't be any more sickness or doctors. There won't be any more hospitals, and there won't be any more pain. Some Christians experience financial distress. Years ago, my father's business went through some very bad years financially. He was worried and depressed. One day, he and my mother came to the Bible college and the church that I was attending near Knoxville, Tennessee. And the late Dr. Al Smith was there. And it was an evening service, and he was singing and telling stories about some of the great hymns of the Christian faith. He told the story of Stillman and Sevilla Martin and their hymn, God Will Take Care of You. As Dr. Smith sang the song, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. When he sang that, Dad realized that God would take care of him. He didn't need to be depressed. Now, my mother was a musician. Dad was not. But I remember how he learned to play God Will Take Care of You on the piano. And he would practice it over and over again, reminding himself of God's concern for his situation. The Lord did deliver. And when he should have gone out of business, he recovered and began to do well again. John the Baptist sat in prison, depressed and doubting who Jesus was. He sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the Son of God or if they should look for another. The Bible says in Luke 7, 22 and 23, "Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Jesus gave the answer when John needed to hear it most, and John experienced God's hope in the midst of his prison cell. Where are you today? God can give you hope. Jesus Christ can deliver you from all your doubts, from your depression, from your loneliness. Jesus Christ is the answer to whatever problem you're going through. We get down on people sometimes that go through depression or go through periods of despondency, especially preachers. You know, a preacher's not allowed to be depressed or to be despondent. But the truth of the matter is the devil loves to assault our minds, especially preachers. He loves to work on your mind and to try and bring you to a dark place. And Spurgeon went through profound depression, and yet he was a great preacher. John the Baptist went through depression. Elijah went through despondency and depression after he received threats from Jezebel. So just understand, if you're depressed today and you're listening to this, you're in good company. You're in good company. God's not mad at you if you're depressed. God's not mad at you if you're despondent. God wants to give you hope today. Now the Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." By the way, I can understand glorying in victory or glorying when things go well. But the Bible says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." After studying the subject, we understand why a Christian glories in tribulations also, because tribulation gives us patience, experience, and finally, hope. All of us need hope during the storms of life. How do we get hope? How do we get the hope that we need? When we go through tribulation, we learn to patiently wait on God. When God's deliverance comes, we experience it. The next time we go through a trial, we will have hope based on what God has done for us in the past. To illustrate, the first time I ever went to prison to preach, it was a frightening experience. It's not as frightening now as it was then because I know basically what to expect. My past experiences prepared me for the future. And it's similar to the way a soldier who is well trained for combat is better prepared to face the situation than one who is not. The battle-hardened soldier is even better prepared than the fresh troops who have just entered the theater of combat. Through experience, God prepares us for future trials. One of the most troubling things about a trial is the fact that we cannot tell for sure what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen next. We do, however, learn from past experience that God remains the same. Hebrews 13:8. This wonderful verse says, "Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is a certainty. He never changes." I may not necessarily know what to expect from a situation in life, but I do know from experience what to expect from God. He's always there. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It's not always easy to be content with what we have. But the truth of the matter is, we have Christ. We have Christ. And if we have Christ, we can be content. Because if we have Jesus Christ, we have it all. We have it all. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God cares about me. And God cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." No situation in life is too hard for him to handle. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" No, there's nothing too hard for God. So experiencing God in my life during a time of trial gives me hope for the future. It can also give hope to others. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. When we go through a time of trouble in our lives, God comforts us and gives us hope. The Bible teaches that we can take the comfort that God has given to us and use it to help others. I remember years ago, back when I was in Bible college, that Pastor Clarence Sexton was telling a story about Curtis Hudson. And Dr. Hudson said, well, going back, Curtis Hudson got cancer. He eventually died of cancer. But Curtis Hudson told Clarence Sexton that it never helped him when somebody said that they had had cancer or that they had cancer. But it did help when someone told him that they had cancer and that God had strengthened them during their cancer. Look, everyone is going through or has gone through some trial. If God has been a strength and encouragement to you during yours, telling another person what God has done to help you spreads hope. By the way, it'll make you feel good too. Sharing God's comfort in your own life will comfort others and give you happiness in knowing that you can minister to someone else and be used of God to bring hope to someone who needs it. Now the Bible goes on to say in Romans 5, verses 5 through 9, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The greatest hope that any one of us can have in life is that Jesus Christ demonstrated his love towards us while we were yet sinners by dying in our place on the cross. This hope means that I can be sure that God loves me through the trials of life, and I am guaranteed a future hope when I die. I will be saved from wrath through him in verse 9. I will never experience God's wrath against my sins. Jesus Christ took my place on the cross, and I believe in him. God promises that I have salvation from the penalty of sin and everlasting life in heaven. This is true hope. We can place our faith in Jesus Christ through the trials of life. He will never let us down. The old song says, my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. In conclusion, tribulation plus patience plus experience equals hope. That's God's formula for hope. If you're going through a tough time now, it means that hope is on the way. Thank you for listening today. That concludes our broadcast for this week. Next week, we'll continue our study of Romans chapter 5. We'll get in depth into some of the verses, and we're going to back up just a little bit and get more in depth into the last few verses that we went over today. I hope this week that you will go out and just encourage someone else. Just encourage someone. If you know somebody that's down, please tell them about this message and encourage them to listen to this message if it's been a blessing to you. If you're going through something right now, be encouraged by the fact that God wants to give you hope in the midst of your trial. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's formula for hope, tribulation plus patience plus experience equals hope. If you're going through a tough time now, it means that hope is on the way.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast. Check us out on the web at www.thenationsforchrist.com podcast. Again, that's thenationsforchrist.com. And when you get to the website, look for podcast. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Saturday morning.